Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we've got a Friday twofer. Lombardi Lenny, Leonard Fournette, off his Super Bowl championship. He's family now. Great to talk to him. And then we have Chris Hogan, new PLL draftee. He's entered the PLL draft. We talk about football with him. We talk about his lacrosse career. We also have Carson Wentz got traded. Finally, Firefest of the Week. Fernando Tatis got paid a shitload of money for a billion years. Let's do it all. Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take presented by Verizon 5G. Today is Friday, February 19th. And finally, Carson Wentz has been traded to the place we all thought he would end up, the Indianapolis Colts. It is official. It is done. We can move on. The biggest losers being the Philadelphia Eagles, I would say.
Yeah, I guess in a way it's a loss. In a way it's a win, though, because they don't have to keep talking about it.
I would say it's a big loss.
It's done. He's gone.
Well, I would say...
Well, it's only a loss if you frame it in the context of the Eagles were saying we're going to get two first-round picks for him.
Oh, I would frame it in the context of the Eagles traded for him to draft him.
Overall, yes.
Then they gave him a ton of money. Then they had got... It will maybe end up being a first-round pick if he stays healthy. Then they also gave him a ton of money and $33 million against the cap, and their franchise quarterback that they thought they had traded for and everything was hunky-dory is now gone. Yep. So I'd say
overall,
that would be a
loss.
Yes,
when you look at it from a macro perspective. A micro perspective, like, did they get enough for him? They probably, I would say that the Colts got the better end of this deal, but the Eagles got rid of it. They're ready to move on.
Draft another quarterback.
And they will probably draft another quarterback this year. He's probably going to be a decent fit in Indianapolis.
This always made sense to me. I always thought he was going to go to Indianapolis. The reclamation of Carson Wentz, like the Frank Reich was where he had his success earlier in his career. And, you know, last year was very bad. I do think that he can – I'm not throwing him out. I'm not saying that he can't find old Carson Wentz. And the best place for him to do that is the Indianapolis Colts. So I wouldn't be shocked if they do okay with him. I was never in the camp of Carson Wentz is trash. He can't, like, figure it out. I was in the camp of if the Bears trade for him, their coaching staff can't figure him out. And Frank Reich makes sense for him to go to the Colts.
Yeah, I'd say that the losers of this trade would be the Raiders. The Raiders lost this trade because the Colts tried to get Derek Carr first. And the Raiders were like, no, we're not going to part with Derek Carr. That's a loss for the Raiders right there. The Bears, I would say, won the trade by not doing it.
Correct.
And Carson Wentz won the trade. This is actually like a huge win for Carson Wentz.
Yes.
Because the last couple years, he has been like, he's just reminded me of a dog that needs a forever home. Mm-hmm. He's just looked sad. He's looked very upset in Philadelphia. Like, he obviously did not have the confidence of the franchise, didn't have the confidence of the fans. He gets to go to a new place, a place that will probably have less scrutiny on him from the fans. I think that's fair to say. Yep.
Well, Dan Dockich.
Dan Dockich is there breathing down his neck. Jim Irsay is going to be very, very supportive of him.
I would love
Roof is open.
I would love for Andrew Luck to come back tomorrow. That would be the funniest story.
It would be very funny.
I'm you know what? I'm ready to be back.
Another kind of under-discussed part of this trade, and just the Eagles franchise in general, is how perfect it is that their GM is named Howie, which is the perfect name for Philadelphia fans to get mad at. It just sounds awesome when they're like, fucking Howie. Howie, you screwed everything up.
Eagles fans are mad, and they do have a right to be mad, because there's this weird thing that happens in sports, and if you win a championship and then you're expected to say, oh, well, it's all good, and there is something that is involved in that. Like, you know, if you win a championship, there are gravy, you know, grace periods, but the Eagles winning a Super Bowl 3 years ago, and you thought, oh, my God, this roster is set. Like, they have their franchise quarterback, Carson Wentz, even though wasn't part of the playoff run, did win a lot of games that year, was an MVP dark horse. And now you're looking 3 years later, and you don't have your franchise quarterback. Your roster is pretty barren. Our colleague Smitty said that I think that the Eagles are the only team in the last 7 years to not have drafted a Pro Bowler, mm-hmm. which is kind of a crazy stat. So Eagles fans have a right to be mad, and they're mad usually anyway. But I do think that saying, oh, well, they just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago, they don't have a right to be mad, you kind of fucked this up. Like, it should have been, they should have been competitive for a while.
Yes. They were set. They had all the pieces in place to be good for a long time. So, yeah, I'm never going to tell Eagles fans not to get mad. You might as well tell the sun not to shine,
mm-hmm.
because that's not ever going to happen. They're going to be mad no matter what. But you're right. They've got a reason to be pissed off in this situation. It was just never going to work with Carson Wentz after the last couple of years. It was just very, very obvious that he was not going to be able to stick around there. What's also going to be funny is the Eagles, if they don't draft a quarterback in the first round, they're probably going to take a wide receiver. They're probably going to take, like, Ja'Marr Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And Carson Wentz is going to be like, what the fuck? Like, when I was there, we get, like, the best guy that we got was Ortega Whiteside. And then I leave.
Well,
now we get Ja'Marr Chase.
They drafted a wide receiver last year, Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Alshon Jeffrey. I just think Carson Wentz, he lost all his confidence, and he became just a terrible, terrible quarterback. I don't really blame – it's weird because it wasn't like the Eagles did try to put – they got a lot of injuries in their wide receiver core. They did try to put some talent around him, and he also just became – a shell of himself, essentially overnight this mm-hmm. year.
I do want to take my hat off to the ESPN social media team for having the Photoshops ready to go. Like, with the trade announcement,
mm-hmm.
they already had the Carson Wentz in the blue with the blue arm sleeve.
Yeah, on
the blue arm sleeve looks weird. It was cool when it was like he had the camouflage arm sleeve on when he was in Philly, and that worked because it was already green. Like, it was similar to the Eagles' colors. The blue arm sleeve looks very strange to me. It looks like a Smurf.
Yeah.
A ginger Smurf.
Yeah, I really did just think this was the only way only place he was going to end up. So it makes sense. I do think the Colts are going to be, they have everything kind of set up to, if Carson Wentz is like, I don't know, 90% of what he was at his peak, or maybe even 80%, they should be in a good shape.
Yeah. It's also funny that they both franchises kind of did a wife swap with offensive coordinators and head coaches
mm-hmm.
in the last couple of years. So mm-hmm. Sirianni comes to the Eagles and then immediately sends Carson Wentz back to Reich, who was the offensive coordinator for Carson Wentz in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Two franchises are inextricably linked.
Yes. And then we also had the Big Ben news, where kind of ominous, saying that Big Ben is on the roster and a Steeler today. It doesn't feel like they want Big Ben around next year.
Well, they didn't say Big Ben is our guy. They said that's a conversation we're going to have later.
Yes.
So Big Ben, he's just going to keep showing up until you tell him. He's probably just going to keep showing up even if they cut him. Big Ben, if he gets released, and I don't know what the – I'm not a capologist.
They're screwed. Like we said on Wednesday screwed. When we were talking about the, you know, a potential trade for a backup quarterback, they don't have any money.
Yeah.
Like, if Big Ben stays, it's $40 million. If he leaves, it's $20 million. Like, they don't – and they already don't have money anyway to sign anyone. So, they're screwed no matter what.
So, what if they cut him, though? If they just cut Big Ben?
$22 million, I think, or $20 million.
So, that's what they might end up doing, is just releasing him and eating that money. And Big Ben will probably be like, you don't have to pay me. I'm just going to keep showing up to work, if that's okay with you.
He could just take a pay cut. and you could, I think, essentially pay him less, and he, like, you, I was reading about it today. They would, like, push it off, and so they would take the $20 million cap hit and use Big Ben this year and then hope that he's, like, decent instead of just cutting him and letting him walk away. Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a lot of very tearful Big Ben quotes, though. Like, if if they decide to move on from Big Ben, he's going to give at least three press conferences. He's going to cry. It's going to be sad. Big Ben doesn't take no lightly.
No.
That's what we know about that.
Absolutely a fact. Any other news? Fernando Tatis signed for $14 million, for 14 years for $340 million. I still don't – I feel like I'm doing a bad Jerry Seinfeld bit, but, like, why 14? Why 14 years? I guess maybe – oh, actually, you know what? I think it actually – I read that it was 4 years were remaining and then 10 years on top of it, but 14 feels like a random number.
Yeah. How did they bargain?
Is that it?
I have a funny tidbit on 14 years meaning something. When his contract ends, the Mets will still have 1 year on Bobby Bonilla's contract.
Nice. I like it, Jake. That is funny. That's perfect. Okay. I'm so glad that you beat He Who Shall Not Be Named to that fun stat. Mm-hmm.
Who thinks Naomi Osaka is boring?
Yeah.
Is she?
No. Not at all.
Jake?
We're Osaka.
No,
Osaka
I'm a big
maniacs.
Fan of Osaka. She beat Serena. Well deserved, but big fan.
She's dating a rapper. How can you be boring?
Well, she plays a boring sport.
No.
Tennis isn't boring.
You threw me a retweet. I feel like that was just a fake retweet, too.
No, it was
that's Big Cat's thing.
Yeah.
Fake retweet? Petty retweets.
Yeah.
For what?
How can you tell when a retweet is a fake?
What are you talking about, Hank?
Previous tweets.
All right, I'll remember that.
You hated tennis.
You asked me to retweet.
And then I tweeted.
I was joking.
And then I tweeted something about, like, yeah, Osaka serve is sick. And then Big Cat retweeted.
Well, you were very excited about the match.
Yeah, it was a great match.
I said I didn't give a fuck. People were like, how can you not be talking about it? Like, I do not care. And I'm excited for your excitement.
Yeah, I appreciate you gave me a lot of impressions.
And now I'm wondering what the fuck is up with Hank.
Hank
petty retweets. I don't even know what I petty
retweet. That's a callback joke.
To when?
To Nate.
Did Nate say that about me?
Yeah.
Oh, you give out petty retweets.
Pity retweet.
Okay. All right, that's okay, Hank. Totally different
words. I knew
words,
it was a P word.
Totally different meanings. Yes, Nate said that when I retweeted Nate trying to, like, help, like, boost him up, he said it was a pity retweet.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was.
And I was like,
I was,
how does that make sense?
That's what
I'm
meant.
Actually trying to be a nice guy here, and he's called it. Yeah, but petty and pity are totally different meanings.
That's
but
my
back
bad.
To
Not
back to the comment about her being bored.
That's why I was confused. It's like, dude, what?
I'm as casual of a tennis fan as you could ever run across. You might not know it because on the show we get pretty in depth with things. Sometimes we have a great research staff, but, like, we don't really follow tennis. She stands out as being, like, actually a pretty exciting person. But Hank, what rapper does she date? Because you can be boring if you date a rapper.
YBN Cordae.
Oh, okay.
That was made up. Tell us the real one.
I was going to say if it's Macklemore.
Yeah,
that's pretty
that's real.
Let me read it word for word so he doesn't, well, actually, he said she's on the bottom rung when it comes to emotion and personality. So, I guess.
That's tough.
Is that true?
No. That's people actually, love her interviews. They go viral.
It's a, like, compliment, though, coming from him, being like, I don't think she has a good personality.
I think the person who said that is probably engaging. Like a little sexist.
Mm. Yeah.
And just doesn't.
Internalized misogyny.
I don't know how you can see her and think she's boring. I'm not a tennis fan either, and I know her because you're dating a rapper, which means I know her outside of the tennis world, which means she's not boring.
Yep.
Right?
If Hank is aware of her, then she's not boring.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure. Not boring.
All right, but
it's still a boring sport.
Yes, but Fernando Tatis.
No,
yes, a boring sport.
Good for him.
No.
He's getting, what, $340 million?
Dollars? Well, I'm going to know yes off with
he's
Jake right now.
$340 million. Dollars
no.
Yes.
To live in San Diego.
I'm done.
Him and Machado.
Yeah.
It's him, Machado, Mike Trout also in Southern California, and then Mookie Betts, I think, are like the four highest paid players in baseball, all living in Southern California for the next, like, 12 years. Their life is set. That's the dream. Playing in San Diego for the Padres and getting paid a shitload of money to do it where nobody will ever hold you accountable because you're on the Padres.
Yes. And, Jake, let me go back to you. How many years until Fernando Tatis Jr. is a Yankee?
I mean,
because that is now back. I love that.
Yeah.
Whenever someone signs, like, a 14-year deal, well, he'll be a Yankee in 6 years.
Well, I mean, the Padres, they obviously were an electric team in the shortened season last year.
Slam Diego.
So, yeah, Slam Diego. So if they don't win a title in, what, the first 4 or 5,
then he's a Yankee.
You know what?
For cheap, like, too.
You know what, Big Cat?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know how we're saying that,
also
like,
in the Dodgers
nobody
division.
Pays attention to San Diego, so, you know, they get a pass when it comes to national media. We should hold ourselves to be the ones that are putting San Diego in the accountability spotlight.
Yep.
Like, if San Diego does not produce, they're frauds.
Yep.
We'll be the only ones getting pissed off about that lovely city.
The problem is we'd have to stay up for the games. I'm not going to do that.
Well, so, yeah, we don't have to actually watch. We could move to San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah.
You want to move there?
We could.
Okay. Let's move there.
All right.
The deal is still out there.
What?
We can move to the West Coast. You cannot go into a body of water.
I'm down. I don't care.
You can't go into a pool or an ocean.
What about the shower?
Nope.
What?
Nothing. That's the deal. No. No hot tubs.
He can't bathe?
We made that deal. No.
We'd be fucking ourselves on that one, having to live with Stank Lockwood just smelling up the studio the whole time.
We'll put a big wall up. You can't go into a single pool.
For how long?
For the entirety that we're out there.
What about this?
That was the deal we made, wasn't it?
Let's just go out there for the Super Bowl for like 6 months next year.
What about this? What if we move to San
Diego?
I've been thinking about
the Super Bowl next year.
You're allowed to go swimming. You're allowed to go swimming indoors.
I'm planning.
You can bathe. You're just not allowed to go outside.
I'm down.
Well, that deal was made 2 years ago.
We could
move there, and you just can't go into any water.
I just think
because the minute we move there, Vacation Lockwood comes out, and it's
Vacation Lockwood is something that exists inside me at all times.
No, he would live out there. He'd be in a fucking
no
on
because
a floaty,
I could go for a run in the morning to the beach. I wouldn't have to
You're
plan
gonna start running now?
Trips. To go to the beach, I have to take time off to go to
the
beach. If I could go to the beach after work, I wouldn't miss work.
When we say we have to stay late and do this or we have to do that, and you're like,
I'm there.
Oh, it's
I'll go surfing
degrees,
in the morning.
No clouds in the sky, and we're 3 hours behind the real world.
No, at the same time.
Nope.
No, you wouldn't.
Nope.
No,
we've had this discussion.
Uh-uh.
It is not.
Hank's saying he would move
don't
to San
knock
Diego
it
and
it.
Become like an ultra marathoner.
Yeah,
everything would
I'd
change.
Be a pro kite surfer.
You'd have to get up at 5 a.m. every morning.
That's fine. I'd
you
do
would
that
get
anyway.
Up at 5 a.m.?
Yeah. I think they would.
10:30 was this morning.
They would take
looking for an answer.
One listen to Hank's yawns in California and throw him out of the state.
Yeah. All right, the deal is out there.
All right.
So think about it.
I will.
No pools, no hot tubs. Billy, you're looking at me right now. You can't be trusted in nice weather.
What?
We can't move this. Moving this entire operation to nice weather.
Billy, you have to put on the headphones every time we record. You have to. You have to. Every time it's like
Billy
wasn't talking.
I didn't mean
to
get you yelled at there, Billy. I want on the record. I did not mean to get you yelled at. I didn't want you to get yelled at. Are you okay? Billy's got some anger in his chest right now.
I didn't say anything. I went to move the microphone.
He did.
I know, but I'm saying like from now on, okay. Every time, headphones, just so when you do
Line
talk, you can hear yourself
okay.
And you
Billy,
can hear
I
if did, you're talking.
I didn't mean to get you yelled at. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Dude, a Billy versus Hank fight would be so awesome.
What if we just sent Hank and Billy out to like scout out San Diego and they had to build the studio just themselves out there? I would love to see that.
Imagine Billy in super nice weather, trying to tame that fucking wild horse.
I do great in nice weather. It's good for my joints.
My use sunscreen, Billy.
Oh my god!
True.
All right. Anything else? What? Anything else cooking?
That's about it. I did see we're getting into NFL draft season, where teams are just very obviously like throwing out bullshit smoke screens.
Mm-hmm.
I saw one anonymous scout. Was comparing Zach Wilson from BYU to Patrick Mahomes.
Well,
and he's got him ranked higher than Trevor Lawrence
because of baseball background. I think.
Yeah,
I think Zach Wilson does. Oh, Billy,
I actually totally agree. Yeah. Well, I've been watching because I like actually started watching everything like way more BYU.
Was it you? Were you the anonymous scout?
No. No, but it's just the way he.
Scout
no, no,
for
it's the way he uses his base. In separation to his upper body when he throws, mm-hmm. It's very Mahomes-esque and very baseball-esque.
Okay, we can just agree that it was a scout for the Jets, though, right? Being like, yo, actually, Trevor Lawrence sucks Jacksonville. Probably shouldn't take him. I would take this 31-year-old from BYU instead.
Yeah. Oh, how old is Zach Wilson?
It's a good question.
All right, let's find that out.
21.
Okay. So he's good.
My mistake.
He's good to go. Well, I agreed with
you. I would assume
like I thought,
he's
right,
from BYU.
Right. Yeah, no, I wasn't disagreeing with you.
Oh, other huge news. What? The end of an era.
What?
Tim Tebow retired last night.
Oh, yeah.
He retired
from
baseball.
Turns out that didn't work out.
Didn't work out. I was holding out hope.
Didn't you have a prediction that he was going to be in?
No, no. My prediction was that the Mets should bring him up because they weren't selling any tickets, and they should have brought him up several times to the big leagues because Tim Tebow puts asses in seats. That's just a fact. People would go out and watch Tim Tebow strike out three times before they would go out and watch the Mets win, you know, 30% of their games at home. So I think that they definitely should have brought him out. Skip Bayless, it's a tough day for him.
Mm-hmm.
They had a debate on today saying, like, was he a better baseball player or a football player?
I mean, he won a Heisman.
Yeah. He might be the most overrated player in the history of two professional sports.
I would say he's underrated in football.
Now he's gotten so far removed that now he's underrated.
Yeah, I would say he's underrated because we all clown on him, and you know he wasn't great in the pros. But in terms of, I mean, he's one of the best college football players ever, I think.
Yeah,
so
I'd say like top three college football player.
I'd have to look through like all of it, but he's a legend in college football. It's tough to be like he was terrible at football.
Mm-hmm.
He just wasn't good at throwing a football, which he had to do in the pros.
So you would agree, though, that he was a better professional football player than professional baseball player?
Yeah, he won a playoff game.
He did. Beat the Steelers.
I mean, that's
Ryan Clark wasn't
say.
There.
You just always say it. He won a playoff
game.
Yeah.
The opposite of Deion Sanders. That's how he'll be remembered.
He won a playoff game.
Blow Jackson.
Okay.
Whoa Jackson. W-O-E.
Keep working on it.
Okay.
Bro
Jackson.
Bro Jackson.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's just stick with Bro Jackson.
Okay. I like Bro Jackson.
Chode Jackson.
Although he's not really a bro.
He's kind of chody.
Tebow's not really a bro.
Yeah. You know what? The most iconic moment of Tebow's career was probably just when he ran through the rain without a shirt on.
I was going to say crying on the sideline against Alabama.
That too. Yeah.
That one is definitely up.
Remember
there.
Tebowing?
Yep.
That was a thing for a week.
That was a lot of fun.
Press conference?
Which one?
The speech.
Yeah, the speech.
This ruined my bar mitzvah.
Well, okay, tell that story,
because
please.
It was the day of my bar mitzvah, and they lost to Ole Miss. And
but the speech was incredible.
I mean, yeah, but they lost.
Right,
but
the
they
speech.
Ended up coming
and
back.
Winning championship.
Yeah,
right.
No team worked
Oklahoma.
Harder than them. Yeah.
The start of the championship DVD is your bar mitzvah.
Yep.
There we go. Perfect. A little fun fact.
Sounds like a pretty good bar mitzvah.
Yeah, I think you're looking at it the wrong way, Jake.
They lost, though.
Yeah, I understand, but that was the start.
Well, looking back, yeah.
But, yeah, right.
But in the moment.
They just remember Jake becoming a man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tebow promising that they were not going to lose again, and then it happened.
I hope he goes back to the NFL. I hope he tries again. I hope he just keeps cycling back.
Yeah, I don't think he can.
How great would that be, though, if he just showed up for a training camp?
I don't think that's on the table.
We'll give him a shot.
I mean, I agree with you. I hope he also goes back to the NFL.
Yes.
I don't think there's...
It's probably not going to happen.
It's not on the tape.
How is Skip going to deal with this, though? I mean, the bargaining stage hasn't even... He's not even that far through the process of grief right now. Like, he's got to have to... At some point, Skip Bayless has to figure out a way to be like, I was right about Tim Tebow, even though he's been wrong about Tim Tebow consistently every day of his life for the last, 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know how Skip's going to make it through this.
I mean, he's juggling that and LeBron right now, so
yeah.
It's not easy for Skip.
Yeah, he's the only person who thinks that Tim Tebow is good and
LeBron
James sucks.
Bad, yes.
Tough place to be in.
It's quite a world. All right, let's get to our interviews. We got Leonard Fournette, Lombardi Lenny first, and then Chris Hogan. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. We're also brought to you by our friends at MeUndies. MeUndies knows expression is important. It's why they make the most unique printed undies out there. MeUndies are the best. We all wear MeUndies. I've been wearing MeUndies since, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, since the beginning of this podcast. MeUndies has been a sponsor. And they are the most comfortable, the softest underwear. And they look cool. They look cool. And you can get set up with a membership. Saves up to 30% off virtually everything they make. MeUndies has a great offer for listeners right now. For any time, first-time purchasers, You get 15% off and free shipping. MeUndies also has their problem-free philosophy. If you're not satisfied with any product for any reason, they'll refund or exchange it. No caveats, no questions. To get your 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/take. That is MeUndies.com/take. MeUndies.com/take. Highly, highly recommended MeUndies. MeUndies.com/take. Okay, here he is, Lombardi Lenny. All right, we now welcome on recurring guest. It is Lombardi Lenny, Leonard Fournette, which, yeah, by the way, so we get an email before we have guests on, and it says promoting what they're promoting, and for your email it says promoting Super Bowl champs. So that's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm happy to be a champ, finally.
Yeah, so let's talk about it. How does it feel? I mean, it's obviously set in, I would assume. It's been a week and a half. But yeah, has it just been the best week and a half of your life right now?
Yeah, it has, man. Like, after the game, I couldn't believe it. I was still in shock, you know, especially, like, from where I come from, you know what I mean, and how my season turned out to be, and to have the finish that I had. Man, it's unbelievable to share that moment with my parents, my kids, my family. And it was no other feeling like it in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you scored a touchdown. I bet on you to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. You officially became Lombardi Lenny, right?
How much you won?
Don't worry about it. It was minimal. Not that much. After taxes, it's basically nothing. But yeah, did that hit different in the moment? Was there, like, did it slow down when you got to the end zone? Were you able to soak it all in? Or was everything in that game at, like, that next level speed?
I was. To score on, I think, one of the all-time stages of football in front of millions of people that was watching the game, and just knowing that was at stake, you know, a lot of great players was on that field. You know, Pat, Gronk, Brady. And just for me to be a part of that team and also to have part in us winning the Super Bowl, I felt wonderful, man. I'm not going to lie. It was great.
I loved watching the mic'd up, I think it's whatever, Showtime, after the fact, you know, the Super Bowl mic'd up, everyone's mic'd up. I noticed that your team, they love playoff Lenny. Like, everyone was really rooting for you. Did you feel that? Because you can tell, like, certain teammates just resonate different with their teammates, and I feel like that was you for this team.
Yeah, I don't think it's not just that, but my personality, you know what I mean? I'm probably one of the young guys on the team, and who keeps football fun, you know what I mean? I'm me 100% throughout whatever it is. You know, I love joking. I love playing around. That's just who I am. And I think it kind of brings a spark towards the team too. Guys like me and Shady who have that attitude, or you can say that personality of the offense. So I think guys look forward to guys like myself and other guys who have those great personalities to bring that kind of spark to the offense.
Yeah. So going into the game, it was Coach Arian's first Super Bowl. I'm sure he was pumped up. I'm sure he was very excited for it. He's probably a little bit nervous. Who is in charge of, you know, the pregame speech? You know, you've put in the work during the week. You've got everything prepared. You're all set, but you need that one, like, last kick in the ass to send you out on that field. Was he the one that gave it? And if it was, what did he say to you? What was his message?
He gave a speech, but it wasn't the speech we needed, you know. I'm not going to say that he gave a speech, but the following speech, like, Coach Bruce always gave a speech, but the speech we needed to hear was from Tom Brady, you know, and his speech is about honor, you know what I mean? And that's – I got to keep it between the team, but it was a powerful-ass message that I think we all needed to hear. And when I think it's how he delivered it. You know what I mean? You know, you have Tom Brady talking to you, how he delivered it to the team. It just woke us up. It gave us a spark that we needed, you know, before the game. You know, a lot of guys have motivation that they might be playing for the money, you know, their family, or some people just because they love it. But when Tom said we're playing for honor and for the last names on our back, I think that kind of hit different for us. You know what I mean? Because we all playing for our last names and we all trying to be remembered. And he put that, I think, in a perfect scenario for us to go out there and work our asses off.
What about the text message you got the week leading up? Him just Tom Brady, it came out that he was texting basically the entire team saying, we're going to win. When you get that text message, I'd imagine that helps the confidence and helps, you feel like, hey, we're actually going to do something here. A guy texting you with 6 Super Bowls saying we're going
to
win.
Yeah, so just going to work, you know, it'd be 5:30 in the morning before, I guess he's the first person up. You know, he leads by example. That's who he is. And he was just telling us we will win this game. You know, our hard work we're doing throughout the week, you know, he made sure that, you know, just like we all did. And it just shows you a different side of him. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get that too much. You know what I mean? Like, to witness greatness up close like that. it was crazy moments. Like, it's sometimes I've been in the backfield and I look to the side. This probably during a play. I'm like, damn, I'm really playing with fucking Tom Brady. Like, this is crazy. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's things like that that I think this season taught me a lot. You know, it was a humbling season for me too, but also just to recognize greatness, you know, understand this is a fast game. It goes by fast. You know, you're at 30 years old, you're an old man in this game. You know what I mean? You have a further life to live outside of football. But just seeing guys like him and how he approaches the game and how much he loves it, you really see why he has 7 rings, you know, and why he's arguably probably the best football player to ever play this game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long after the parade did he wait to text the entire team like, hey, guys, my bad. I know I was really drunk. Sorry about almost losing the Lombardi Trophy.
Nah. I think, like, this is my first time being a part of a Super Bowl parade, but I think this one was different, and I think he deserved that.
Yeah.
You know, no matter whatever it was, you know. I remember prior to the beginning of the season, they were saying he was too old. He doesn't have it. You seen the video he put up. The video he put up recently on his page when they had me in there saying I was washed. They had him saying he's old, you know, he's about to retire, whatever the case may be. And I think just believing in yourself and the doubters have nothing to say. Mm-hmm. He did a remarkable job the way he came back from it.
How fun was that parade, though? It looked like everybody was having, like, the best time of their life on those boats.
Man, listen, I had a blast. You know, they had big cans flying at us. You know, they had to duck for cover. But the overall experience of on the water and boats, it was remarkable.
The other moment that I realized that you are probably the most liked guy on the team is all the jokes you're making about JPP on the boat. That, I feel like you have to be in close to a guy to make some of those jokes.
Yeah.
But it seems like you guys have a good friendship.
We all have tight friends on the team, you know. We joke around with each other all day. And listen, let's not get this twisted. He may have 7.5 fingers, but he is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a 2-time champion. And his resume and his credentials he have is remarkable. Mm-hmm. You know, even being with a guy like JPP, you know, he's been through similar situations I've been in. You know what I mean? He's been traded or whatever the case may be. But I think he was the lead on the offense besides Devin White, who was really vocal. And I think he's one of the guys who actually played and talked the talk.
Yeah.
Did both of them, sacks. And my guy had 2 interceptions this year. So, yeah, it says a lot.
And he had a lot of deflected passes, too. Like, he has remarkably good hands for not having 2 full
good
hands.
Yeah.
Like, that's
– Listen. And his favorite thing, I remember, I think it was – some game I had a bad game dropping balls. He's like, I catch better than you. I said, damn, you right. That game you probably did.
Did he say anything to Joe Haig after he dropped that touchdown catch?
Say it again?
The lineman. What's his name? Joe – I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Joe Haig?
The trick play you guys ran. The
trick
lineman
play.
Who almost caught the touchdown.
Oh, Joe. Nah. It was just – you know, the big guys, man, you know, they don't practice, you know, they don't train to get hit like that trying to catch the ball. So he tried his best. I give you that. He tried his best.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I saw that you guys are trying to bring everybody back next year. I think the entire coaching staff is coming back. It might have been a blessing in disguise that you guys, you know, obviously, like, there's talk of Byron Leftwich getting a head coaching gig somewhere. There's always going to be talk about Todd Bowles with that defense that you have. You're essentially bringing back the entire team next year and the entire coaching staff. Is that something that you guys talked about? Like, how soon after the game did y'all wait to get together and be like, hey, who here is committed? Let's do this again.
I think that Monday, I think. You know, we had our team meeting. We had things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave a speech. Like, man, we want this team to stay together, and they're going to try their best to keep us together. And like I said, I don't mind. I mean, they had a rumor saying that I said I probably want to stay if I get most of the carries, which is not true. Mm-hmm. I never came my mouth. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I enjoyed that. You know what I mean? That 1-2 punch from Man Rojo. You know, and it kind of saves your body a lot too. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think this team, we could do something special if we stay together again. So hopefully they make something happen, they get it done. I would love to rejoin, you know, but things happen. You know, if it doesn't work out, you know, it happens. So
right. Just
stay prayed up, and I'm going to let my agents and them deal with that. Right now, I'm still celebrating the world champion. That's like, listen, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yes.
That's hard. So, like, I went from Lombardi Leonard to playoff Leonard to Super Bowl Leonard. So now everybody's called me champ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to take champ.
Champion.
And you had the tweet, which I love, when you signed with the Bucks, and you're like, I can't wait to play in the Super Bowl. And then and then you quote tweeted like, I can't wait to win the Super Bowl. It's all been pretty cool. And I know that it's not, you know, we last time you were on, which we hashed that out, I was, you know, regular season Lenny, maybe not always the best, but playoff Lenny's a different beast. And your family now. You actually said that to us. So you are family.
Yeah, Barstool Lenny.
Barstool Lenny. Do you want to blog for us?
I would love to.
Okay. I'll tell you, all you have to do, just like make a tweet thread, and then I'll just embed that tweet thread into a blog, and we'll just say it's from Barstool Lenny. So anytime, anytime you tweet a thread, we're going to blog it for you, okay?
All right, say less.
All right, well, Leonard, thank you so much, man. Congrats again. Lombardi Lenny is, I mean, it's a great nickname. So
I have one last question.
Yeah, it's a great nickname.
I'm just curious, what's the going rate? How much did you guys pay the officials before the game?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not gonna lie to you. We came out with it on our minds. You know, we knew it was gonna be a battle. We just came out fighting, man. That's all we did. You know. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't ass kicking. Yeah. That's one game you can point to and be like, the more physical team won that game.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Also, how many people are you taking out to dinner? Because you said, you tweeted the other day, spread the word, I want to take some of my brothers from 2014 out to eat.
So it's from my high school, right?
Okay.
And I went to St. Augustine High School. So my graduate class, everybody graduated. I have people who come. That's what I'm taking out to eat. You know, you know, that just, like, it's different. You know what I mean? You know, you have your college friends, you know, guys in the NFL. But I think I cherish high school so much. You know, I enjoyed high school so much. Like, I still have a friendship with those guys. You know, we still talk. We still have a group message with each other. You know, so in my school, you know, you might switch schools. But my school, I went to sign off from my seventh grade year to my senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So we grew from boys to men.
Yeah. And you got to take a lot of people out to dinner now.
I mean, you know, that Super Bowl check, it pays off, so I got it.
All right, I saw a lot of people replying, being like, "Yo, can I come?" So maybe when the pandemic ends, we'll go out to dinner with you. We can split it with you, but that would be fun.
Yeah, the boss through luncheon.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. Featuring Lombardi Lenny. All right, well, thanks so much. We really appreciate it, man, and we'll keep in touch.
I appreciate it, my guys. Thanks for having me once again.
Man. All right. Thanks, man.
Take care. Enjoy your offseason.
Right. Yeah.
Will do.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Here's Chris Hogan.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest, Super Bowl champion Chris Hogan, who is now officially entered the PLL draft. We are PLL owners. We figured it'd be good to have him on, talk about football, talk about lacrosse. So, Chris, thank you for joining us. Are you officially a pro lacrosse player, or do you have to be drafted? Is there like a chance you might not be drafted?
I'm entering the draft, so I still have to be drafted.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't think that there's a chance. I don't actually. You know what? Let's put up some smoke screens.
We won't. Pass
we're not gonna take you. Yeah. We've got you off our big board. We're just smoke screening a little bit. Actually, I'd like to ask you some questions as somebody who is kind of going through the combine interview process right now.
That's what I figured. This was going to be an official interview here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, well, first of all, I just like to know, do you really love lacrosse? Because you took a lot of time off.
I chose it over football when I went to go play college.
Okay. Wait, now, did you choose it over football or did lacrosse choose you? Could you have made the Penn State football team? I don't know.
That's a question someone might ask. But I mean, I put all my eggs into lacrosse when I got to college. I loved lacrosse. Always have loved lacrosse. Knew that I was going to make my way back to the sport some way, shape, or form when I was done playing football. Mm-hmm. Thought about walking on to the Penn State football team, but I was having too much fun playing lacrosse at Penn State.
So wait, are you done playing football though?
I am not officially retired, so that door is still open.
Okay, interesting. Some may say though you're juggling too many things at once. Can you cradle and
can dangle? How are your dangles?
Dangle and cradle at the same time?
I'm a multi talented guy. I can do it all.
Okay. My favorite question that they ask at the combine is: would you rather be a cat or a dog?
Dog.
What's that? That's the right answer, but I'm just curious.
I'm a dog. I'm a dog person. I'm a dog lover. I have two Great Danes myself.
Okay.
They follow me around everywhere. I'm a dog person.
Would you be amenable to water dogs? Good point. We are the water dogs. Would you be amenable to maybe changing your name if we were to draft you to sell more jerseys? Like I was thinking, what's a good lacrosse? Just Chad. Like your share. Yeah, just Chad. How many lacrosse jerseys do you think we would sell if it was Chris Hogan, but it was just Chad, number 5 on the back?
Just Chad?
Yeah.
The Chad or just Chad?
I think just Chad, period.
Or Hulk. We could just do Hulk.
We could do Hulk, too.
Yeah. Hulk might be a better seller.
There is actually a Chris Hogan who's seems like he's more accomplished than you because he has a bunch of books about how to become a millionaire. Do you know that guy?
Yeah, I know. He actually pops up when you Google my name. He pops up before me. I think his picture does as well.
Yeah, how to become an everyday millionaire. You should write that book and be like, play lacrosse and football.
I know. I look at all my Twitter mentions and I started following this guy, seeing like what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I am curious, like on an actual note, like to know how coming from lacrosse into football, like how long did it take you to really get to the level with your hands, those like fine skills that you use in football that may not have gotten that much practice while you were playing in college? Like how long did it take you to get to a point where you're like, yeah, you know what? I think I can actually be an NFL wide receiver.
The transition, it's like effortless because it just the eye-hand coordination, the dodging, the conditioning, the physical part of it, both games, like playing receiver and then playing like midfielder attack is so similar. And then I think the biggest thing for me, like when I was playing lacrosse, like trying to go over to play football was like learn how to run routes. That was like the biggest thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about how often did Belichick just like pull you aside just to talk about lacrosse?
Honestly, we had a little banter going back and forth because he's a big Hopkins guy.
Yeah.
So Penn State and Hopkins, they went into the Big Ten a few years ago together. So there was a little bit of that rivalry going around. And Petro, the head coach at Hopkins at the time, he would come by every now and then. So. And they had, you know, there's that building was littered with lacrosse guys. You know, his sons were both there. Mike Pellegrino, he was a college lacrosse player, played at Hopkins. He's a coach there. So, you know, there was lacrosse talk going on.
I heard you lit up Steve Belichick in college. Is that true? Was there any animosity that lingered after that?
Zero animosity. And that story is, I can't tell you whether that's true or not. I knew I played against Steve, but we didn't know each other at the time. So,
did you light him up?
I don't think so.
That Billy is right here saying yes. So we have a resident football. I need
video. I mean, there's probably some video evidence of it. Then if it's out there.
Yeah, Billy, what did you hear?
He had a couple points on him. I looked at the Rutgers Penn State game box score.
Okay.
All right. So you let him up a couple points. You let him up for a
Billy legitimately said he scored like 100 goals on him.
No.
Billy's his pre interview notes for us were like, you lit him up. It was sweet.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm off camera, but I actually met you in middle school at a football camp, at Joe Namath football camp, and you were really awesome. And I just wanted to say, that was so cool.
You don't have to answer that, Chris.
Chris, do you remember Billy?
I don't. Where was the football camp?
Fuck.
I mean, I was like one of like a bunch of kids.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe he remembered you, bro.
Where was the football camp?
It was at WestCon, Joe Namath football camp.
Oh, okay. Joe Namath. Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's a lot of kids there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but there's only one Billy.
I look like everyone.
Go get in front of the camera and see if he remembers you.
We probably got a picture of it, right?
Yeah.
Do you have a picture?
I think I do.
Okay. All right. We'll have to find that picture. That's a cool story, Billy.
Can I actually ask him?
Yeah. Ask a question. Okay, Go ahead. So, he's very Chris. He's our intern. He's very excited to talk to you. He was played lacrosse and football, so he's modeled his entire life off of you.
No, I actually have some. Coming back to the game, coming back to lacrosse from football. Of course, you're an amazing athlete. Do you think you're going to go into, these guys are pro lacrosse players. They're, been in the game for longer. They're back in the game. But do you think you have the skill set and the offensive stick handling to actually be an offensive threat? Because I know you're going to be an amazing, short stick defensive midi. I know you're going to be great in transition because you're an amazing athlete. Do you think you have the skill set and, do you think there's any rust, or do you think you can have the same offensive production as you did at Penn State?
Good question. I think where my game will excel when I first get back into playing will, like you said, will be that fast paced transition game. Trying to create those different, 3-on-4 situations, just trying to use my, speed and my athleticism. But I'm putting a lot of work in to try to contribute on offense as well. And I think, the more that I continue to train and work on my stick skills and shooting, and there's a lot that goes into it, but, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to try to get on the field and contribute in every single way that I can. And being on the offensive side of things will be one thing that I'm looking forward to, that challenge.
So for the last 7 years, have you actively kept up with playing lacrosse? Would it be something that you would do to like unwind after football practice? You're like, I'll go in the backyard, throw the ball around a little bit, or was it something you pick up?
It's not like something that I had. I had a stick in the locker room.
Yeah,
and I'd play. Have a catch with some of the guys play lacrosse at Penn State. On the Patriots. Some of the guys, in Carolina, I toss it around a little bit. When I was in the summer, down the shore, my wife played, we would toss it around a little bit. So I've had a stick in my hands. It's not like I haven't picked up a stick in 10 years and this is like some foreign thing to me. It's going to take it's like riding a bike for me, like picking up a stick. But I think getting back into actually playing lacrosse and the game has changed since I played.
How so? I mean, we know because we're lacrosse heads, but
it's faster.
Other people,
basket boys.
Yeah, we're basket boys.
There's more.
Faster. Okay.
There's more personnel changes.
It's super fast, quick whistles. When I played, you had to get it in the box in 10, within 10 seconds. The whistles, there was more whistles and longer time in between whistles. It's like everything now is just, it's fast paced. And I think that's, I'm looking forward to that because I think that would be fun for me, to kind of get back into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy?
How do you like your pocket? Are you a low pocket guy, high pocket? What kind of shooting strings do you use? I mean, what kind of mesh? Just funny. I mean, this is like...
No, it's a good question.
I'm using Epic lacrosse sticks and all their gear right now. And I think that's probably the one thing I'm trying to figure out the most is that,
how you like your pocket?
Yeah. I mean, that changed too. You have to have a certain number of shooting strings in there. When I played, you could have
whatever.
It's Wild West.
Or you could have whatever.
You're rocking 3 U's.
So it's changed a little bit, but I'm not like that concerned about it. I'm more of a high pocket guy. To answer, okay.
Who do you think would have been the best player on those Patriots teams if they, like, one of the guys that didn't play lacrosse, who would have been able to make the transition to the game easiest?
I mean, just his athleticism alone, probably. I mean, probably Gronk, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gronk wouldn't even have to worry about, like, stick skills. I mean, the guy can, you know, just the stick would be invisible. He'd stick him on attack, and he'd be able to run through everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been – and, you know, there's some other guys too. I mean, you stick, like, you know, a guy like Jonathan Jones, you know, who can just flat out fly. I mean, going to be tough to cover, you know, if he gets a running head start. You know, there's – and all those guys are super athletic. I don't think they could pick up a stick and just be good at it right away, but if they put some time into it, I think they could be good lacrosse players.
Do you obviously, I assume you watch the Super Bowl. Do you keep in touch with Tom Brady at all?
Yeah. Text him all. I text him every now and then, and text him after the Super Bowl. Told him that I was super happy for him. It was pretty cool to watch him all year and what he was able to do. And it was fun. It was fun to watch him kind of solidify his legacy. You know, go to a team that didn't even make a playoffs the year before, have a winning season, and turn that whole, you know, that whole organization around and go win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's nothing short of amazing right there.
Do you and Julian Edelman, did you guys text at all being a little jealous of Scotty Miller? Like that, he kind of stole your guy's shtick.
We didn't have any band. I was happy for that kid. I mean, he reminds me so much of like my role when I was my first year at the Patriots, you know, just kind of, you know, that kid can fly. I mean, he's definitely a little faster than me, but you know, just that deep threat, you know, really taking it, you know, taking advantage of all the opportunities that he got. I mean, he had a solid year.
Yeah,
with Tom. So it was fun to watch. Yeah. No animosity towards the kid, though. I mean, he had an awesome year. Julian might have been a little salty about it.
He sure definitely was, yeah. And he'd probably be the first one to say that. We're I guess we consider ourselves pretty good friends with Jules, and we always bring up to him how thirsty he is on Instagram. He always has those pictures with like 9 abs out that he obviously puts like extra filters on. He probably has a guy that just photoshops his stomach. Did he ever make you like?
He's always got a shirt off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did he make you take pictures of him ever?
No. That I drew the line there. No pictures taken of Julian.
Obviously, you're. I mean, I don't want to assume, but I assume your body wasn't as good as his, or isn't as good as his, because otherwise you would have some shirts off, right?
I mean, I don't like to flaunt, you know, my body on social media the way that he does. You know, I mean,
yeah,
he's out there, you know, trying to find his girlfriend, and you know, I found my forever one. She's sitting right next to me right now, laughing probably at me. But
the best one was he did. It was a Father's Day post, and it was his dad like behind him, and he had his shirt off. And we gave him, he was like, "I love my dad." It's like, but that's just you with your shirt off, dude. So we gave him some shit for that. But listen, if I look like Julian Edelman, I would never have my shirt on either.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so I'm not gonna hate you.
Yes.
So we were looking through the course of your career here in the NFL. What happened in 2019 when you were like, you know what, I'm gonna play for a team that's not in the AFC East for the first time ever?
It was. I mean, that was my first year hitting free agency, so that was. You know, it was a cool experience. It was definitely different. And Carolina had called, and I went down there, visited with them. Greg Olson, you know, the guy that I've kept, you know, we went to play at rival high schools, you know, a little bit older than me. That team just was pretty stellar, and I thought they had a good chance of, you know, being really, really good. And obviously, you know, we were kind of riddled with injuries that year and didn't really go the way that we wanted it to, but I was excited to kind of get out of the AFC East for once and experience, you know, the different side of the league. You know, it was fun. That team was awesome. Man. Mm-hmm. Playing with McCaffrey and those guys. I mean, that kid he's incredible.
Yeah. All right. So when is the actual PLL draft? Do we know?
I know, but we're curious what you think it is. This is one of the pre-draft questions. See how prepared you are.
March 25th.
Exactly. Yep. Are you going to have like cameras in your house, like ready for, you know, draft day and everything?
That's we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I mean, I'm excited about it. We'll see. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that I get drafted and I get the opportunity to play with these guys. And you know, I'm definitely working towards it.
You don't have any like weed gas mask pictures that are going to come out on the 25th, right?
Okay. Oh, there's no skeletons in my closet. You won't find
that. Good. Good. What are you going to say, Billy?
Where would you want to end up? At which PLL team would you want to play? And who would you? Who are you excited if you get the opportunity to play with?
I mean, I got some fellow Penn Staters. You know, Grant Ament, obviously, he's new to the league and he plays for the Archers. It'd be cool to play with him. Drew Adams is another guy. It would be fun to play with. Honestly, wherever I end up, I'm just excited about the opportunity just to kind of play with these guys.
Good answer.
This is
really doesn't matter to me.
Good answer.
I'm just looking forward to getting out on the field with these guys and trying to compete with them.
Mm-hmm. Great answer. That's a very Belichickian Patriot. Like, yeah, that's
this
a good
is,
answer.
This is not, you know, this is not my first time being drilled with these questions. I don't have an answer.
this is probably since I'm part of the owner organization.
You're not. Yeah, really. No, you're not.
You're like an intern
no shares.
I know, but can I just ask a question? So Miles Jones is driving down the lane. Okay. How are you playing defense on Miles Jones? He's probably built like Gronk.
He's big.
Yeah,
like he's
Billy
coming
just
down.
Wants you to talk about
he's
a big
bulldodging
guy.
Yeah. You. Are you going to take him on? Do you think you can do it? I mean, you play in the NFL.
I mean, I'm not one to shy away from contact.
Right.
You know, I mean, I've been doing it for the last 10 years and been taking some pretty good shots from guys that are even bigger than that guy. So. I think I'll take my chances, see what happens. I don't know how it'll turn out, but I'm not going to shy away from it.
Great question, Billy. Mm, Billy, you literally were just asking, can you take on a guy who's taller than you? That was what your question was. Everything
Miles
goes down
Jones
to like fights and height
nature.
With Billy.
I've seen him dodge. He's a physical dodger. He's a really good player, but we'll see. Maybe I'll get the opportunity to let that happen.
I've always been curious because you don't get to watch your NFL games at home on TV unless you go back and you watch the broadcast. But it seemed like the only thing that you would ever discuss with Chris Collinsworth in your production meetings was the fact that you used to play lacrosse. Yeah. How much time did you spend going over that with like Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, Collinsworth, Al Michaels, those guys?
It kind of took off after that one Monday night game where I mentioned – you know, Penn State lacrosse. And I think from there, I just did a ton of stories. I mean, I never really did a lot of like, you know, backstory with these guys and you know, the day before games and the media. I think I did a ton of, you know, press about it, you know, getting into the league and, you know, leading up to the first Super Bowl, there was a ton of articles and a ton of stuff written about, you know, my past and where I came from. And, you know, that just kind of followed with me wherever I went for my entire career was, you know, this guy was a lacrosse player.
Yeah. It became, I think it's from our perspective, it's like the Antonio Gates played basketball in college.
Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
Yeah, it becomes a storyline that you can't escape, and that's the first thing that everyone thinks of, which is good in this case, because March 25th, people are like, oh, yeah, Chris Hogan. Well, one, he's the millionaire online who sells best-selling books, and two, he's the football/lacrosse player.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will. We can't tell you that we're going to draft you. All right. Billy has one last question. We can't tell you that we're going to draft you, but we're looking forward to possibly drafting you and giving you a shot on March 25th. And we'll end with Billy's last question, which I'm sure will have something to do with height.
No, it has to do with this. Football's awesome, of course.
Okay, duh.
But, you know, when you play football, it starts to become a job. Would you say lacrosse is more fun?
I mean, I think we're trending in the direction where lacrosse is going to become people's jobs.
Right.
I mean, we're professional athletes. That's our job. Right. So we're trying to you know, what the PLL is trying to do, what Rabel's trying to do is grow this sport so that this is a job for guys. Mm-hmm. You know, this will become a way for people to just make a living, and guys are already making a living doing it, and that's their job. I wouldn't say one's more fun than the other. I mean, for me, I'm a competitor. I like to compete, mm-hmm. you know, and I get to compete. I got to do it for the last 10 years with the best athletes in, you know, in the world playing football. And now I'm going to be able to do it again, just playing a different sport. So, it was my job to be a professional football player. And mm-hmm. now hopefully I'll have another job, you know, being a professional lacrosse player.
But more from the angle of actually playing the sport, like, you know, football, you're worried about like your assignment, you're like making the right read, whereas lacrosse is just a little more free form.
Billy just wants you to say that lacrosse is more fun.
Yes.
Let's just cut to the chase. Billy, it is. Can you just talk?
Here's I'm dancing around it because I'm trying to give some more political answers here.
I'll run Billy
through a translator here. Talk about how sweet it is to play lacrosse.
It is super sweet, bro.
Yeah. How fast you shoot? No, seriously.
I haven't been clocked. I mean, I was clocked in high school at my left hand was like 100.
Can you shoot? Oh, what can you shoot with your right?
I think it was like 95, 96.
Draft him. Yeah. How fast can you shoot, Billy?
I shot in eighth grade. I shot 89 miles per hour.
Whoa! Wow. So that was clearly the highest.
That well, I didn't
the fastest.
Then I focused on football.
Oh, got it. Got it.
And also, this is the entire reason Billy brought up how fast can you shoot, so that we could ask him how fast he shot when he was in eighth grade, as like a freak.
As
like,
a 2-year-old, I shot Mongolian. 4 miles an hour. So you could imagine the potential I had.
You are. I have to say, Chris, you are good. You've got the Belichickian Patriot way media training down really well. Was that something? Did you have training sessions where they'd be like, here's how to answer specific questions?
He would go over some different things. But, like, you also didn't want to walk into a Monday meeting the day after a game or just another meeting where you were the highlight of that team meeting because you said something stupid to the media. So it was always kind of, you know, speak for yourself, speak about the team, and nobody else. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I jived with that. So like I didn't want to, you know, step on anyone's toes. I didn't want Bill to call me out in front of the entire team, which he certainly would if he said something stupid. So I adopted the Patriot way immediately when I got there.
Yes, yes. And now that makes you very draftable for the Water Dogs. Chris, thank you very much. Good luck March 25th. Hopefully you're on our team. I'm sure Billy will have some follow-up questions. I'll email you or whatever. Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
All right, let's wrap up. We got Fyre Fest of the Week. Hank, you want to start?
Sure.
What's your Fyre Fest?
PFT farted yesterday inside of Stoolstream Stadium and has not admitted it. And it's getting to the point now where it's just like I don't know what to do.
I didn't even poop yesterday. How could I have farted? I didn't poop since Sunday night.
Wouldn't that mean you were more likely to fart?
No, it means I was airtight. There was nothing getting in, nothing getting out. I didn't fart. This is Hank doing fraud scenes again.
I can't remember if you had my back or not with the Mountain Dew bottle.
I was just rooting for chaos in that situation.
So yeah, then I don't give a fuck about it. I'll root for everything to happen between you two.
At the end of Stool Streams yesterday, which is actually a very ironic name to have a program named that, where there's a fart controversy.
Mm-hmm.
But we had just lost the championship, and on the replay of the video, there was a loud fart noise. I was right there. It was like me, Liz, Spider, who else?
Big Ev.
Big Ev.
Who?
Jake, our darling Jake, and Jeff were also in there. And I didn't hear a fart as it happened. There was a fart in the video that was almost like a loud cartoonish fart. I actually think that Hank had like a soundboard in the truck, a fart board, piped it in to get more views on his little video
makes
that he was
sense.
Putting out. And then he wrote like two blogs about it, and he's tried to squeeze content out of it.
PFT has been really going out of his way to create other circumstances that it might have been instead of just denying it. No, it's not it wasn't me. It was like, I think you did it.
I would admit
I don't think
it
ever happened.
On Sunday, I talked about shitting myself.
You, out of the blue, it was like, you know, the fart happened. You probably felt a little guilty about it. And then, lo and behold,
did you feel guilty about it?
Almost minutes after the broadcast ended, PFT tweeted, I haven't pooped in days. Like,
okay, so
just clearing your name for no reason.
This is again Hank lying about everything. After Hank wrote a second blog about it.
You wrote two blogs?
I wrote one blog.
And then tagged me.
Which is basically worth like five because I don't really blog.
So you wrote five blogs?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah,
that's a lot of blogs about it, Hank. And it means you probably were trying to boost the ratings.
Yes.
No,
exactly.
I'm trying.
But you did fart, right?
No, I didn't fart. Hank kept tagging me, trying to get a pity retweet or something out of me.
Petty retweet.
Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what was going on. And all of a sudden, everybody was like, "Yo, PFT, did you fart?" I didn't fart. I would admit if I farted. I'm telling you, I was physically incapable of farting until about 9 o'clock last night when I finally pooped.
Hank, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Why do you think PFT is so ashamed to admit that he farted?
I don't know why. We've looked at the film. We've pulled all the angles. The people that were closest, whose asses were closest to the microphones were PFT, Spider, and Big Ev. But I don't know. I don't know. I think it was PFT, but I really don't know.
Don't you have a mic?
Let me ask you a question.
I was in the control room.
Yeah, but you have a mic.
No.
It could have been you.
No, that's not how it works. This is what I'm saying. Where it's like he's really trying to like deflect.
One question that we're not asking is, where was Jake during this entire exchange?
I wouldn't lie. I would fess up right away.
And also, I don't think you'd ever fart on a broadcast.
No.
You would have to
hold
a pretty significant apology.
Do you think, PFT, do you think that this is a very low move of Hank to try to boost the viewership of Stool Streams, the thing he's obsessed about more than anything else in the world, with just a simple fart?
I think it's a very low move. It's sophomoric. I frankly would expect
if I was to do that, that would be a genius move that's like diabolically smart, but I'm not capable of thinking that far in advance to be like, okay, championship, we know, we've had to cancel it 100 times. Let's add in a fart sound effect.
You've done stuff like this before,
right?
Hank,
when the thing ends, and then I'm not a good liar like that. I don't have the capabilities to put all that in motion and then do this witch hunt.
Okay, so now that I've got all the facts,
I'll fart into a microphone. We can cross-reference my fart.
Well, you already did yesterday.
You should make everybody
fart. It was like a shit. I'll put the sound in it. Someone shit their pants. That's
and you
really
also
the
got it. I don't know what the fuck the chalk is, but they were got it. I don't know what the fuck the chalk is, but they were.
You should make everybody fart
like
into the microphone and then do fart print analysis and compare it to the audio waves and see whose asshole it
is. I have one last thing, Big Cat, to present to the jury before you make your decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not about the fart itself. Everyone farts. Everybody poops. Everyone knows
facts.
If I was to make a comparable situation, it's like if we put out a video, we're in the Part of My Take studio, we all thought it was a great video, and then all of a sudden in the comments people are like, who ripped ass? And then you go back and listen and you're like, someone ripped ass. You would want to know who it was.
Agreed.
Yes.
That is where I'm at, where it's like, I don't care who it was, but the fact that no one is admitting it is driving me crazy.
But the thing
and
is,
you
it was
are
so
going out of your way to, like,
I'm, you are being very defensive.
I'm just responding to Hank tagging me like six times. I wasn't even going to comment on it because I knew it wasn't me. In fact, I didn't even hear a fart while we were there. That fart is so loud that I would have definitely heard it. Spider didn't hear one.
There was a confetti machine going off. There was a lot of things going on.
The issue I'm having here is Hank does make a good point that he's too dumb to actually like plan something like this out. And you are being very defensive. I don't know. Billy, you decide.
You know, if no one actually heard it in the building, I think it's much more likely to be interference.
Got it.
I think people want to put fart.
Have you heard it yet?
Yeah, it was a little wet. It was like, it was too, it was very, you know, honestly.
It was a WAP fart.
It is also very, the timing is nothing short of, what is it, Michael Scott, nothing short of predominant, that you also have been talking nonstop about your bowel movements or lack thereof.
Correct.
Now, I haven't really been talking about my bowel movements until after that. That's why I brought it up.
You were tweeting about Skyline Chili.
And
correct
me if I'm wrong,
after.
PFT.
No,
did you or did you not shit your
off.
Pants within the last 7 days?
Yep, also true.
I did
Sunday. It's been a big bowel movement week talk.
I tweeted out the Skyline
you.
Chili thing after Stool Streams yesterday.
Right, but
that was afterwards.
He is right. It has been a main storyline this week.
It has. It's been bowel week. And I'll tell you what, if it was my asshole, it wouldn't have sounded wet because it was that was the farthest thing from what my bowel was like yesterday.
You know,
it's
what?
Dry as a rock.
I think it's time. Have you gotten a colonoscopy lately?
No, you couldn't fit anything up there.
I think it might be finna? Time.
No.
I think you guys are getting to that, you know.
I've still got 13 years.
Okay.
No,
okay.
Honestly, it wasn't me. If you want to pin it on me, Hank, I tell you what.
It's one of those things where I thought it was a funny thing, and I was like, you know, we'll get to the bottom of it. Someone will admit it, and no one's admitting it now, and it's just like kind
of
pissing me off.
And when people get defensive, it's like, wait,
yes,
what's going on?
Right.
I got you.
I only got defensive after Hank put me on the defense.
I just asked, was it you? That's all I asked.
You're being very accusatory. You started the segment off.
You were one of four people. That was like a good cop, bad cop. Mm-hmm. You know, just get it out of the way.
Can't you triangulate that audio?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're working on it. We've sent it out to the mass, the people that do that type of stuff. Forensic
files. I welcome the transparency. I will fart into a microphone if you need to compare. I don't care. I'm an open book.
All right, so PFT, what's your Firefest besides the fact that you got caught farting into a microphone and deny it?
That I'm constipated.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my Firefest.
Which has nothing to
which
do
is,
with the other thing.
No, which right. is tough. It actually, I don't think that I farted in between Monday and Thursday night is the thing. So it actually could have been me. But let that be a lesson. If you do have any sort of medical procedure and they give you pain medicine, mix in several prunes. I'm talking prune juice. I'm talking all the fiber that you can find. I had to just say I'm done with the pain medicine because if you don't poop for 3 days, that throws off my entire week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or pack a dinger.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually
Or losing Jenga.
That helps too. I did chew like 9 pieces of nicotine gum last night to get things going.
That ended up
working.
My
other Firefest is just like shout out people in Texas dealing with like a real Firefest right now. That sucks.
Snow?
That sucks. The snow, no power, no water.
Can't take vacations without getting shamed.
Yeah, it's really tough.
Are you a big Ted Cruz guy now?
No, I just, you know, I'm on the front lines of vacations everywhere.
I think when Hank is just
doesn't
standing,
matter, you know.
Hank is just standing with
color,
a guy whose
political
daughters
party.
Were like, we want to go on vacation tomorrow. And he's being a good dad and being like, okay, yeah, let's go to Cancun. Like, that's what Hank's going to be like.
You need to have a kid.
Vacation shaming in all forms is wrong. That's my stance.
Yeah, I love it. I think that politicians just should not be on Twitter at all. I've seen way too much of politicians dunking on other politicians. Like, people that are in the Senate and House of Representatives spend like 90% of their time thinking about how they can get retweets. Mm-hmm. I think once you get elected to a national office like that, you should just not be on Twitter. There's no point.
I mean, you should Justin Herbert it.
Yeah.
I got no Firefest because I survived COVID and life is good, you know? You got to celebrate the small things.
Some things, big cat.
Yeah, some things, exactly. Mm-hmm. Some things actually mean some things. That's true.
I'm
not trying to get other people
that.
Fired or having coaches that steal money on podcasts. Some things. Jake, your Firefest?
Yeah, so I watch The Bachelor every week, and for some
really?
Reason... Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
For some reason, that's the only program on the only channel where the TV narrator voice just says everything. It's annoying. I can't figure it out.
Wait, what do you mean?
So like, you got Siri narrating The Bachelor for you?
So
what?
It's like, so you know how...
Better than Chris Harrison.
There's like a narrator voice. Yeah. But it's not at any other channel. And then when like Wheel of Fortune or whatever's on beforehand, there will be no narrator. It's just for that show.
What do you mean narrator? Show.
Like,
well,
the,
I don't even
like a robot like
Siri.
Voice, like, they
like Siri reading
oh,
the
when nobody's
subtitle.
Talking.
Oh.
Yeah. Or
weird.
Background, mountains, and flowers.
Weird.
It's only that show every week. It's
and
so
only
crazy.
On your television.
So you can't watch it?
Does that follow you? If you watch
you
it on
can't watch
TV?
The show, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can watch
How
it.
How do you
very
watch
annoying.
The show?
You
still... watch the show?
Yeah.
With that?
What?
Yeah, I mean,
you are a psycho.
Do you think
in your little studio apartment? Yeah. That's the saddest thing in America.
No.
Right there. No, you just
it's nice.
No. Monday nights suck.
Well, there's big Monday, Virginia FSU.
You're
too.
Sitting in your kitchen.
No.
Slash bedroom.
No, it's separate.
Do you have a wait, do you have
listening
a wall?
To a robot talk to you?
Yeah, there's a wall.
Do you have a door in
the
your
bathroom
apartment?
And kitchen are separate. It's just
okay.
but those are combined.
The toilet's next to the fridge.
And the fucking robot's just being like and they enter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Jake, but only for that.
Have you thought that maybe you're going insane?
No.
Maybe it's all in your mind?
We need to change the situation.
Who you got winning, Jake?
I mean, do you want to spoil it?
Oh. You know?
Maybe.
How do you know?
All right, so no. No, don't.
There's this person called Reality Steve. They know.
But you wait, go and seek him out?
Yeah.
Why?
I like watching that way.
What the fuck, Jake?
I do the same thing with Big Brother.
Oh, no my
way.
God.
You always know the ending?
Survivor, they don't really spoil it, but Big Brother and The Bachelor. Yeah,
I have a friend that does that for the challenge. It's crazy.
People do it. Who is this Reality Steve guy? How does he know everything?
He's just the plug.
Yeah, I've heard of
him. Just the plug.
No, he does get everything right, but why do you...
Because it's still crazy. Wait, also, I like the first few weeks when it's the drama. Now, they're in the Final Four right now. There's really not drama anymore.
Hometowns, yeah.
Yeah, hometowns.
But that's crazy. You know the result, and you're in for it.
Yeah, I still like watching it.
Wow.
Do you look up movies before you go to see them?
No.
Why?
Do you DVR games and see the result and then watch the
whole
game?
No, I can't understand those people. You got to know right away.
You're that person.
No.
Just for the best of the exact same thing, Jake. You rely on you treat Reality Steve like it's the bottom line that you're watching.
That's wild.
On a game you haven't even watched.
I'm telling
you,
a lot of people do it. People will tweet us, be like, I'm not. People will say I'm crazy, but there will be people on my side.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah.
I welcome those psychos to show up.
All right.
Billy, your Firefest? You almost fought Hank earlier.
No, I.
Your rage.
I'm either
going
to go to prison, or
okay.
be a billionaire.
I like the first
idea. This is before Billy gets into this.
Yeah,
I walked back to my desk, and Billy and Marty Mush were hot on a new financial scheme.
Yeah,
it's pretty much a guarantee that it's the dumbest thing in the world.
I walked in this morning, and it was the exact same thing. I sat at my desk, and Marty goes, "Yo, PFT, you want to make some quick cash?" And then Billy was like, "It's awesome. We're mining cryptocurrency at our desk right now." Sounds legit.
It's humans mining, not computers.
Okay.
It's a very complex algorithm that you have to grasp. But you know, a lot of people are like, a lot of fools are fools till they get success, and then they're visionaries.
That you've definitely to convince yourself of that. Like, hey, I might be dumb today, but as soon as I'm rich, people are gonna be like, "That guy's smart."
I just gotta get a little dumber before I get really smart. Mm-hmm. So, explain to me what you're doing on your phone.
It's kind of basically a cryptocurrency backed by a pyramid scheme.
And, okay, nice.
And but I think it's not like, you know, you're not buying anything. But so if you go on to Pi Network, use when their invite code, put Billy Football.
Oh my god.
And I'm going to get so much Pi.
Right now you're going to be the Steven Seagal of Pi Network.
I know, but I was thinking about
Bitcoin
it, like, either I'm going to go to jail because this is all illegal, which I don't think it is. Or I'm going to make a ton of money.
Well, so I knew it was a solid investment.
How much does it cost?
When Marty
Zero.
Mush,
you
Marty,
just sign up.
Yeah, Marty Mush says to me when I sit down, he goes,
"How do I make money?
It's free to do,
you
and
just
you have
get
unlimited
more people
upside
to do it.
Where you can make."
It's like the Play Barstool app.
Yeah, no, this is. No, not.
You sign up, and there's a chance to make money.
This is the office scene where Jim draws the triangle.
Yes.
So Billy's been constantly refreshing his app all day today and telling me how many pies
pie
he has
in the office,
which is worth how much?
Well, it's speculative value.
So how much is it worth?
Well, it's worth nothing now, but it will be when Marketplace opens to use pie.
So you're down there in the coal mines.
Mm-hmm.
Just
I'm in the
you're
coal
working.
Mines in crypto. Yeah.
And so, what does it entail to mine this stuff?
When this stuff. It does. You just got to click a button every day, and that's how you mine.
And then
that's
you get
like,
rich.
It's and you use a bunch of anti-robot stuff, so it's not computers making the Bitcoin. Right,
Do you have to give your social security number?
No, you're not.
You're probably going to get.
Let's do numbers.
No, you're not.
I'm
going
to I'm gonna stick
number.
To investing in smart things. 99. 18. Like gifts.
16.
66.
7.
It would be awesome if you went to jail.
Yeah.
That would actually be very funny. 77. If it sticks... It might not stick.
Oh, it's off.
It's off.
71.
We got to do it again. Oh, do you have a fact for us? 17.
Puffins lose their
beat.
What
did you do? Hank, what happened?
So
Hank, did you usually say 17? You always say 17?
No, I've been... I'm not gonna tell my strategy. There's listeners that probably could have picked up on it, and I was in between whether or not. I'm just.
Oh
mad.
My!
Someone
God.
Out there will. Someone out there will be able
Jake,
to put it
tell
together.
Us
but
strategy.
I'm fucking.
You know
mad.
His strategy. Jake knows his strategy.
If I had to guess, since I always guess 18, he guesses like one next to it. I don't know if that's
no. Someone. I've been. Yeah. I've started at one, and I've just been going 1, 2, 3, 4. But I might have. I literally was saying to myself, "Is it 16 or 17?" and I was like 16.
Oh, but
I might have already said 16.
And I guess 18. It's like a scratch off.
Oh, damn, no,
hey. Right above and below.
So,
wow.
And 17 is my lucky number.
Wow.
So to win on a 17 would have been, I'm heated.
Ball don't lie. My God.
Love you guys.
What does ball don't lie for?
I didn't fart. Love you guys. Billy, what's the animal fact?
Puffins lose their beak during the winter.
So they just walk around like a thumb?
Yep, no beak.
That's weird. How do they kiss? That's sad. Love Beakless. You guys.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.